This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
So, the US and the UK issued a security and travel advisory to its citizens here in the country. And a few things were stated in there. And it caused a lot of people to react in certain ways that maybe they ought not to have. But, I mean, when things like that are coming from two of the world's strongest nations, well, it would definitely cause people to raise their eyebrows. But the assurance that has come from the government and security agencies is that there is nothing to worry about. So, I'll just give you an idea. United Kingdom, United States updated their travel advisories following recent terror alert, warning their citizens against traveling to Abuja. Two countries updated the travel advisories to their citizens in the wake of alleged increased threats of terror attack on the seat of power, which is the capital of the country. But responding to this, the Inspector General of Police, Usman Akali Baba, allayed fears of Nigerians. He assured every Nigerian of their safety, even as he rolled out emergency numbers across the country. This advisory has also had certain level of impact. Well, that is a conversation we are going to have as we make progress on the show this morning. Well, I have a very special guest to discuss this with me today on the show. Remember, we are live on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. At Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. So you can watch, listen, and be a part of the conversation. My guest this morning is a security consultant. He is also a forensic investigator, and he would be speaking to us via telephone today. Is no other than Alfred Onunubo. I hope I got his name correctly, because I'm sure when he comes on, he would have something to say. Mr. Onunubo, good morning to you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here with you.
All right. I hope I didn't murder your name. That was my most concern. Onunubo,
well,
correct. Please, oh, please. This is just the first day of November. We can't start with legal issues. Quickly, let's hear from you. I mean, you are a security consultant, criminal intelligence specialist, and a forensic investigator. And when you hear what was said by the UK and US government, the advisory that was put out, travel advisory to its citizens in the country, and how it's been done has been questioned. The government has said that's nothing to worry about. It should not be a concern. What's your own perspective to it?
Well, thank you, listeners, and also thank you to Nigeria Info PH for having me on this morning. I appreciate this opportunity, and I will try to be meticulous in my response. One, it's not in doubt that we've had serious security challenges spanning over 11, 12 to 14 years, growing by the day. And it's no longer news to Nigerians that we have terrorist attacks. It's become so regular that we do not see them as any serious issues to be worried about any longer. However, when an international platform, when a diplomatic platform begins to issue travel advisories or as a security advisory to their citizens, they were not sending the travel advisory to Nigeria. They were issuing the travel advisories to the citizens of their respective countries who reside in Nigeria, the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Canada, Bulgaria, and a host of other countries have done similar things. Now, you will understand that they will not just wake up one day and begin to put out this information to the public. There must have been series of documented incidents and challenges leading to such advisory. So it's not to be taken lightly. And we are not asking the people to do anything other than be careful about their movement and that they are not capable of providing security, and they do not trust that relevant agencies can guarantee their safety any longer. Now, we must capture this, because when we just talk about security advice, threats, and all that, what this country simply said to their people is that they, we are no more able to provide safety for them on their respective movements. And that also implies that they do not trust the capacity of the existing security establishment to guarantee the same. So that's the issue. To me, I don't think they were out of place, because our media serves us cocktails of security breaches across the country on a regular basis. And when you look at the content of those advisories, they were addressing issues of kidnap, banditry, terrorist attack, and other extrajudicial killings that has been going on, not just within 1 week, but I'm sure it covers a period of months, possibly years, before they could arrive at such decision.
Mr. Onunugbo, now, but do you, when we look at how these advisories are being given out, some would question the public nature of it. I'll tell you something from the National Security Advisor, Major General Babagana Monguno, who says no part of Nigeria is under threat. He also said he criticized foreign missions in Nigeria for creating what he called needless security panic in the country. Through this terror alerts. And many are looking at it in that direction, because these countries that are putting out these advisories, right there in their country, they have series of security issues. We are aware of the shootings that happen, it's almost a regular thing, shootings that happens in the United States. We've even had some things related to terror attacks in the UK as well. But the approach it's given there, it's not what we have here. It's almost very easy to say it's a terror threat. Should we be concerned about how the message is being put out if we're looking at what the National Security Advisor has said?
I have great respect for the National Security Advisor. And we should understand that statutorily, he's playing a role designed for him to give a face to the government that they're doing something. I do not expect him to come out and tell Nigerians, look, these guys are talking are true. No, he will never do that. That will compromise the sense of the existence of that office which he occupies. So he's meant to give us those positive perspectives to the report or to the situation, to give the government a face, and also to use the government official platform to tell Nigerians we are in control, we are doing well. I mean, it will be horrible. The media will decimate the presidency if the National Security Advisor woke up from his sleep to affirm what a foreign intelligence advisory issued to their people within Nigeria. That would be a disaster. So Nigerians will also see the perspective from which the National Security Advisor is speaking. I do not think that he is agreed that we have actual threat, because right under his nose, the Nigerian Correctional Facility was attacked successfully by terrorists, and they made a successful retreat. Now, that is not a compliment to the terrorists, I must say.
But we had the Capitol in the United States attacked by protesters in the manner that it did. Well, which is still being talked about even till this day, but it wasn't Nigeria, looked at in the same approach.
And the Nigeria is a country. It doesn't bother me so much what happens in Washington, and it bothers me that my life is under threat in my own environment. And I think we shouldn't draw such comparisons, because the positive things that mark out those countries are not used as parameters for measuring our own performances. So I think it will be inappropriate and more or less insensitive for any public officer to draw such unhealthy inferences in the face of obvious security threats that affect our lives and properties. The oath of office of the president, to whom General Babagana Mungana is his national security advisor, is to protect the territorial integrity of our country and also to ensure the protection of our lives and properties. And we must assess him by that, by his performance on that oath of office. I cannot assess the president by school shootings in Atlanta or homicide rates in the UK or other crimes in other places. You know, we have our peculiarity. For instance, our biggest challenge here is poverty. There's a country where over 85% of the population are living in abject poverty. There can be no greater threat than that. That is the biggest harvest point for crime, because people find a way to survive based on what they see with the remaining percentage of the population. You know, even when we employ people legitimately in offices, by the end of the day, they start over-invoicing, differing, doing all kinds of unethical and unprofessional things. So I need for us to draw this back. Let's not throw ourselves out in the market. We need our space secured. I want to be able to drive from Lagos to Port Harcourt without fear of any threat to my life. I want to be able to see the policeman on duty on the road and be sure that, yes, with the policeman here, my safety is guaranteed. America doesn't care whether they are shooting in their places. They didn't issue you security advisory based on Washington. They are saying that in Nigeria, in Abuja, the federal capital city, where they have their embassy and other interests of their nationals, that their safety are no longer guaranteed. That should concern us.
But
how
then,
to solve their own problems is not what should preoccupy the National Security Advisor's address to the nation at this point.
All right, Mr. Onunugbo, if you don't mind me interjecting a little bit. But then, if we were to x-ray comments that has come from the presidency and security agencies, it seemed to be more concerned as to how perhaps this advisory is coming. Perhaps there should be a different channel and not in the manner in which it was put to public because of the implications and effects it could have. For instance, after the security advisory, people are likening it to, are linking it to the state of some businesses around the capital. The management of certain 9 clubs that were located within the Transcorp Hilton Hotel announced that they were going to shut down for 14 days. And this came after we had this advisory. Economically, it's already beginning to draw up certain concerns. And perhaps the perspective that it's been looked at by the security agencies and the government would be, even if you were to make such advisories, don't we have other methods by which those countries can get over to their citizens and inform them as against putting it in public for the fear of causing panic?
I sincerely understand your concerns and your question, but I have things to say to you. Take note, I'm not going to be defending America against my country. That would be unpatriotic. I must say that, and I owe nobody my apologies for being a Nigerian, and I'm proud to be a Nigerian. We have our challenges. Now, you should understand that information management, security information management, is a strategic platform. It's the way these things were managed. Now, let me clear this. Nigeria, and I'm sure all the countries issuing this advisory, must have bilateral security understandings or agreements. They have platforms where they share intelligence. And I'm very sure there are security protocols for moving this information from one stage to the other before it goes public. They must have done due diligence on this information, analyzed it by, you know, best hands they have on their platforms before putting it out. Now, should that have an effect on us? Yes. An average Nigerian does not trust the Nigerian security establishment. That is the biggest problem. Because if we do, we should also not have problem when the National Security Advisor steps forward to say, hey guys, there's no cause for alarm. And when the Chief of Defense Staff came forward to say, hey guys, there's no cause for alarm. The Foreign Affairs Minister came forward and said, look, we are working on this. The truth is, even from what they were saying, they are not totally dismissing the claims of the advisory. What they have an issue with is that this information went public.
And that's the concern. If the expectation is whether or not this is true, security agencies alone can confirm. But from what has been said by the presidency, there is no terror threat whatsoever. Putting that aside, and looking at what we have on ground that we see happen in the country every single day or any other day, just like what happens in any other country in the world, don't we have other channels that the U.S. could get to its citizens? And that seemed to be the major concern by the presidency and security agencies. If there are, were they exhausted or were they used to get in touch with their citizens? If an advisory is for the citizen of a country, shouldn't it be going directly to those people who you are trying to protect, who are immigrants, in quotes, as against putting out a statement that would generally affect how things operate in the country that your citizens are found, which is the situation we've found ourselves. We'll go on a very short commercial. As soon as we return, we'll get your reaction to that and more. You also could have to tell us whether or not security advisories help the country tackle insecurity in any way, shape, or form. We'll find out all of this and more when we come back after this very short commercial. Please do stay on the line for us.
Thank you, I will.
All right, we'll go on a short commercial now. You can send in your thoughts and comments if you want to react to the conversation to our WhatsApp portal. When we return, we'll take those messages.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back in live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. My guest is Alfred Onunugbo, security consultant and forensic investigator. Well, We're looking at expectations from the government following the recent US and UK security advisories. A travel advisory was issued, and you heard National Security Advisor, a retired Major General Bagana Monguno, saying no part of the country is under terror threat. He was speaking after the emergency National Security Council meeting that was held with the president, and there he criticized foreign missions in the country. He says they are creating a needless security panic. Let's get over to my guest who is still waiting for us on the phone lines. Hello, Mr. Nonugo, thank you for your time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so going on with the conversation, before the break I was asking you about whether there shouldn't be alternative ways or certain medium to which governments around the world can get across to their citizens in other countries so that it does not influence the activities of, you know, that particular country. For instance, Nigeria also had issued advisories to its citizens in Cyprus at the time, in other parts of the other countries of the world. I think Ukraine was very obvious, and, well, nobody would say that such advisories would cause any sort of unwarranted implications. But we issue advisories as well to our citizens in other parts of the world. Would you suggest a better way of doing this to avoid... Because whether we like it or not, this advisory by the UK and the US must have some sort of implication. And I just told you about one economic implication for some businesses that are shutting down for weeks because of that advisory.
Well, I hope we are aware that we are living in a digital age. And what that simply means is that with the social media, even information intended for individuals could become a public information. I mean, once intelligence leaves its cocoon, certainly you can't guarantee the direction it will go. What we are dealing with probably is the aftermath of the information coming public, which is expected. There's a saying in my place that it's only a tree that you will tell I'm coming to kill you, and it will stand still, doing nothing about it. So when sensitive information, when it's public now, it's no longer intelligence, it has become downgraded to information, because intelligence are strictly managed and are not put out for everybody until they become, they get condensed to where they can be administered to the relevant structures of society and then their structures.
So you agree that we have an information problem, a management of information problem?
Management, there's an information management problem. It's not only with the advisory, you know, and with the world has gone global. You can't allow anything for seconds and assume nobody else will find out. You may never know. A couple of days ago, information went viral about a young man, you know, patronizing a stripper's club, and they claimed he was the son of a prominent Nigerian. Now, it took the media team of the individual to start refuting and issuing disclaimers. So, our society is at the point where they are confronted with this kind of situation. So, the social media is like a vault where you drop things and, you know, everybody has it. Excuse me. And that's the big issue we might be looking at. The source of leakage of this information to the media, because the advisory was not issued to the Nigerian media. I hope you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the advisory was issued to citizens. And some of these citizens are Nigerian. They have dual citizenship. And they have privileged platforms. They have relations. They have friends. The natural thing to do, if I have such privileged information, is to call those I love and care about and say, oh, be careful. And some of them could be journalists, and they will get a post or a forwarded message containing such advisories. And once they ensure that the advisory is authentic, it's news for them. They go public with it. Just the same way a lot of things happening, even though that a lot of fake news are driven, because you will not be surprised that in the next 4 years, this same information is still circulating in the social media. So we have all these challenges going with issuing advisory, and you can't control it. So what Nigerians should be assured will be steps that are being taken, which even from all the deniers and all that, you could still see the Ministry of Defense, the Chief of Defense Staff, and the National Security Advisors insisting that they are putting things in place. They've been active since the past 10 days, making sure that no threat. Some arrests, I understand, have been made, you know, of people suspected to have terrorist connections. So the advisory have triggered the whole chain of activities in our security establishment. That's a positive thing, you know. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, let whatever intentions of the terrorists be aborted, let it be curtailed, let it never happen. We will be very happy with that. Let the advisory be proven not to have been established. That is a fantastic development we want to see.
Okay.
But if we are dwelling too much on the platform, the pattern, and we're not dealing with the issues, then we have a problem with that.
Okay, I was about asking you how the advisory helps a country in any way tackle, you know, such threats or tackle insecurity. Well, before we get to that, I'd like to say to our listener, if you want to make contributions, we may not have enough time to take phone calls. We're slightly having network issues with our phone lines. What you can do is send us WhatsApp messages and ask your questions or make your contributions to us via WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. You can also join the conversation live on Facebook and on Twitter. We are live on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. You can also drop your comments there or questions. We'll be taking those comments shortly on the show. With the conversation now. So, Mr. Onunubo, aside informing citizens of a country that reside in another country that, oh, this is what we think and that is what we think and you should act like this or behave like this, aren't there supposed to be other benefits of the advisory to the government of that country where perhaps the citizens of another country reside? And shouldn't that government go a step further with assisting the country tackle that problem if it has found out that this sort of problem could emerge, looking at the fact that its citizens reside in that country?
Well, I'm aware that there must exist a kind of intelligence clearance platform. And that means that it's not just Americans in Nigeria it will affect. You have Cameroonians here, you have Indians, you have Chinese. So before such is going public, I believe very strongly that they must have had the internal engagement with the necessary security establishment.
But we didn't get this advisory from governments of other countries whose citizens are here. It's basically coming from the UK and the US. And like you've pointed out, we have people from other African countries. We have people from China. We have people from the Philippines here in the country, Lebanese here in the country. We have people from all walks, Canadians, Germans, here in the country. And we haven't seen, most of the times, these sort of advisories largely comes from the US or the UK, which also raises questions. Why aren't we seeing other countries issue such advisories, but largely we only have it come from the UK and US?
No, I don't think I will agree with you. because I'm also aware, I'm privileged to know, and also in the media, that Germany, UK, Canada, Bulgaria, and other countries did issue similar advice. Now, it's also good to know, you know, we have a mindset. If you hear that Ghanaians were advised to leave Nigeria, I wonder how you would perceive it. Now people respond to this thing based on what they consider as the risk that comes with such situation to their own person, to their job, and it also defines the kind of responsibility they report to their people. Now, it's hitting us hard because it's happening not just in Nigeria, but in the Federal Capital Territory, which is the capital of Nigeria, and our seat of government is right there. Now, it's also important that the public should know. America owes it as a duty. UK owes it as a duty to ensure that their people are safe. I want us to take that away, so that we will also look at what are our own agencies doing to ensure that we are safe. And like they said also, they are doing everything possible to keep us safe. Definitely the alert must have triggered chain of activity within the security establishment. And they are doing, I'm very sure, they won't be sleeping over that. The fact that it went public may push forward certain things which might have been on the discussion tables, things that might have been, you know, whispered at some levels. It has brought this situation, particularly seeing the American and other nationalities withdraw their essential staff or non-security staff from environments that they feel they are not safe. And I think that is coming or probably coming to us as an embarrassment as a country, that we are there, people are leaving. And America, UK, and Germany and other countries are taking seriously when they are talking about security, whether at home or abroad, because of their antecedent. So let's see where these things are coming from. If we use politics, we will never know the truth. If we allow politics to mix up with the safety of lives and property, my brother, we will mislead people. Politicians want to win the next election. And I want to be careful in saying this, because I'm not implying that the security situation is political, but they want to manage the situation in such a way that it doesn't become a discount to their political claim while in government. And it will not jeopardize their chances in the next election. There's an election coming. So a lot of things will be done, troubleshooting, some image laundering, and all kinds of things we need to come forward. I'm talking to you as an intelligence expert. These are intended to present the government in positive light so that people can see, trust, and believe that they are there for their interest. So you have to understand that aspect of the reaction and response from the government.
Okay.
But to the general public, my brother, those whose family members have been kidnapped or killed have stories they will tell. Those who survived kidnapped have stories they are telling. And in fact, it's either they paid ransom, they sold their property. So the freshness of the wounds lives with them. And you can't use any political story or any statement dismissing anything to convince those people that there is this security. That's the faith we need to give our security situation.
Okay. Now, it seems like it went beyond the Federal Capital Territory because other states in Nigeria where it advised against all but essential travels included Bauchi, Kano, Jigawa, Niger, Sokoto, Kogi, Abia, Plateau, Taraba, And then also within 20 kilometers of the border with Niger in Kebbi State, and non-riverine areas of Delta, Bayelsa, and River States. We know that the U.S., the American Embassy in Nigeria, it said that the advisory for Nigeria had been updated due to the heightened risk of terrorist attacks in Abuja. And so this practically looks like it's targeting almost every part of every region, I'll put it that way, in the country, from the south to the east to the north. We have at least a state being mentioned. For many people, yes, we have everyday security issues, but I don't think we've had issues, for instance, like what happens abroad, where anybody, you're walking on the streets, anybody can come out with a gun and shoot everybody, or shoot as many people. And when they put out the comments, when these things happen in their country, the comments that come out from the government doesn't point, they don't try to make it look like terror threats. It's mostly, well, this person is, well, mental issues or a health condition, or it has nothing to do with terror threats. So you would understand if the government begins to look at this and point towards a direction of maybe the elections coming and this sort of threats coming the way, this sort of advisories coming the way that they are coming, could be targeted at causing panic. How can the government handle this? What should we expect then from the government in all of this? How do they go about it, the Nigerian government?
Yes, I think also Nigerians should be careful that we don't get distracted. We should not be distracted with somebody else's problem. If I'm in a hospital and the person by my bed is suffering from cancer, and the one next to my bed on the left is suffering from leprosy, and I had malaria, I don't think it would be wise to leave curing my malaria to be queuing the hospital. How come this man has cancer and all that? Personally, that's my approach to life. And I'm sorry, I don't want to compare the situation in America with what happens here. If I want to do that, I'd rather migrate and not be in America, face such problem and solve it. Who says we cannot be better than America, for God's sake? Why must we use other countries? We should come to that point when other countries should be using us for the example. We have the best climate in the world. We have the best place. In those countries, Nigerians are among the best in all fields of endeavor. So, if we are now appropriating the wrong thing for ourselves here, then we are not acknowledging our capacity. And it will keep us down. I expect the government to rise to the situation. I expect to see the government engage the fight against terrorism with a new zeal. We want to see prosecution of suspects confirmed to have participated in terrorist activities. We want to see steps taken by government that serve the interests of the entire nation. We don't want to see rumors or hear rumors of sentiment, preferences, and some, you know, lip services to stir up situation. These are things Nigerians want to see. We want to see a rule or an engagement pattern that makes a crime in the east, west, north, south punishable by Nigerian law and not excusable for any ground, so that every criminal everywhere will understand the risk and danger in getting involved in crime. When we establish that standard, there are certain things. Terrorism won't be where it is. We have certain Nigerians from different parts of the country who seem to be giving support to criminals. And they have said in the media, they have opportunity talking, and they're moving freely. We have religious preachers who are inciting ethnic preference in the country, religious preference. and we allow them in the space of a secular state. These are compromises that are creating some of even these situations we are dealing with. So if we want to deal with this, let's go back to the book and ensure that we apply the rules
all right
to everybody. Nobody should be made a sacred cow. The government should be proactive and neutral.
All right, Mr.
They should not be punished. They should not. And also the punishment for crime should have no respect for anybody, whether you're from a rich or poor family. You don't have to break the law of the land.
All right, Mr. Anonimo.
Our officers, policemen and soldiers should be trained, equipped, and be given good social benefits. They should be paid well. Their motivation should be such that you cannot induce them or corrupt them or get them involved in ethnic or religious.
All right, Mr. Anonimo, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time, but we'd have to wrap up the conversation here. Once again, do have a lovely day, and I'm sure you're having a swell time in Lagos at the moment.
Yeah, we're doing good, looking for better things to happen here.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
I appreciate this time. God bless you.
Well, there you have it, Alfred Ononugbo, security consultant and forensic investigator. Well, quickly, I'll take a few of your messages on Facebook here as we attempt to wrap up. Theodore Isaac Onlemanaye says, instead of them to beef up security, they are busy discarding the warning threat. Well, just like the host said, you don't expect them to demarket the administration, but it has never been this bad. I would have advised them not to take this threat lightly and slightly too. I know the first duty of government is security, but we play politics with every important issue. God help us. Can you imagine? Ogu Ojone Justice says USA and UK security threat stirs up fears whereby businesses close and it caused panic. USA could be seen to have hidden agendas because there ought to have been a medium by which the USA would pass such vital information to the Nigerian security agents instead of throwing such news in public domain. The US is not exempted from security issues. And it brings us to our own government. How often, when the shootings were happening in the UK and US, I was in my head, I'm saying, does the Nigerian government put out its, comments like advisories like this to Nigerians in the US and the UK? Unfortunately, I didn't get the time to confirm. I haven't really come across many in online. I have some friends in the US who also said that they haven't received, but I'm sure the government would also be issuing advisories to its citizens in the US and in the UK in times of security threats. I know we have for other countries around the world. On WhatsApp, as we attempt to wrap up now, this one says, the insecurity alert raised by these superpower nations is in order. They too may have skeletal cases of insecurity down there. You said businesses are closing. That's better than to ignore the warnings and stay to be massacred by any terrorists. Well, the government has said there's nothing to be worried about. We don't have to fear, and there is no need for panic whatsoever, which is very important to note. No need for panic whatsoever. You heard from Babagana Monguno. You heard from the Inspector General of Police as well. It's just no need for panic. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Thank you for your time.